word of prayer before I begin. Lord, may we listen and learn from your living word today to love and follow you better. Amen. So this morning we're starting a series on Matthew's Gospel, Sermons on the Go. And we've got just heard the part of Matthew where Jesus calls another person to follow him, to become his disciple. And this time it's Matthew, the same man who wrote this Gospel we're reading. Matthew was a Jew who was appointed by the Roman oppressors to be the area's tax collector. He collected taxes from ordinary Jewish citizens and from traders passing through the town. Tax collectors were expected to take a commission on the taxes they collected, but most of them overcharged and kept big profits. So tax collectors were hated by most of their fellow Jews because of their reputation for cheating and because of their support for the Roman rulers. Let's think for a moment what life would have been like for Matthew, day after day and year after year. Suppose it was you. You would sit in your hot little booth, waiting for locals and for travellers to pay the toll as they passed from one province into the next. They wouldn't enjoy it, and probably you wouldn't either. In fact, if you were a tax collector in that ancient world, maybe it's the same today for all I know, you would get used to people being angry with you. In Matthew's world, it was assumed that tax collectors could be lumped together with sinners, as we've just read in verses 10 to 11. This was precisely because they collaborated with the hated authorities and because they made extra money for themselves collecting too much. Of course, others considered them sinners. Then think what it might be like having a young prophet with a spring in his step and God's kingdom in his heart coming past one day and simply asking you to follow him. To follow him. To be seen and invited. Wanted. Perhaps it would feel like a miracle. Actually, verse 9 hints at something even more. It would be like new life, even like a resurrection. The words our Bible translators, he got up, often translated he arose, is the same word used for resurrection. Matthew got up and followed Jesus. It makes me wonder just how compelling, how appealing, how different and extraordinary Jesus was, that when he said to Matthew, follow me, he just did, straight away. Like it had happened to Peter, James and John when they were fishing and Jesus called them. But perhaps more than any other disciple, Matthew would have had a clear idea of how much it would cost to follow Jesus, giving up his lucrative career. But still, he didn't seem to hesitate for a moment. When Matthew left his tax collecting booth, he guaranteed himself unemployment. For several of the other disciples, there would always be fishing to return to if need be. But for Matthew, there was no turning back. The Romans wouldn't give him his job back if he were after he had walked out on them. And then, as he followed Jesus, two changes happened to Matthew. First, Jesus gave him a new life, new in all sorts of ways. He not only belonged to a new group, he belonged to the Son of God. He was not just accepting a different way of life, he was now an accepted person. For a despised tax collector, that change must have been wonderful. Secondly, Jesus gave Matthew a new purpose for his skills. When he followed Jesus, I should imagine that the only tool from his past job that he carried with him was his pen and ink. From the beginning, God had made him a record keeper, and Jesus' call eventually allowed him to put his skills to their finest use. Matthew was a keen observer, and he undoubtedly recorded what he saw going on around him. And the result is this Gospel of Matthew that we read today. Perhaps Matthew's experience points out that each of us, from the beginning, is one of God's works in progress. Much of what God has for us, he gives long before we are able to consciously respond to him. He trusts us with skills and abilities ahead of time. He has made each of us capable of being his servant in some way or another. Matthew couldn't have known that God would use the very skills he'd sharpened as a tax collector to record the greatest story ever lived. And God has a meaningful purpose for each one of us. Back to the story, what happens next? It seems that straight away, Matthew invited many friends or acquaintances to come to his home to meet Jesus. These were people that respectable society looked down on as sinners. Tax collectors, maybe swindlers and cheats, men and women living perhaps violent, abusive, or abused, unhappy lives forced by desperate circumstances. People who didn't follow the Jewish laws on how to live and worship God. And other people who considered themselves better than that, nice, decent, respectable members of society, they wanted nothing to do with such sinners, looked down on them with self-righteousness and judgment. In particular, the Pharisees. The Pharisees were religious leaders who had developed very rigorous and detailed rules for keeping themselves pure and fit to worship the holy God, as the laws given to Moses required. Now, when the Pharisees saw Jesus having dinner with Matthew and his sinner friends, they didn't like it, not one bit. They found Jesus threatening to their way of life and their understanding of God. They just didn't get him. Jesus was showing a new way of relating to God, challenging many of the Pharisees' strict rules and how they were used to judge and condemn people. The Pharisees were more concerned with their own appearance of holiness than with helping people, with criticism than encouragement, with outward respectability than practical help. So the Pharisees were often trying to trap Jesus, and they thought his association with these sinners was the perfect opportunity. At Matthew's home, they challenged Jesus, asking Matthew and the other disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" To which Jesus replies, "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick." Because God is concerned for all people, all of us sinful people, and especially those who are hurting. We're all sin sick. We all fail to live God's ways of love, loving him and loving others. We all sometimes put ourselves first. It has been said that the word sin, S-I-N, has the letter I in the middle of it. I'm in the center of my life, where God should be. Jesus then quotes from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, where God says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice." God wants us to love him and others. In Micah 6, verse 8, it says, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and love mercy and walk humbly with your God." Jesus' answer to the Pharisees' question about why he eats with tax collectors and sinners is, because while other religious leaders of the day saw their task as being to keep themselves in quarantine, away from possible sources of moral and spiritual infection, Jesus saw himself as a doctor who had come to heal the sick. There's no point in a doctor staying in quarantine. They'll never do their job. Jesus came for sinners. Sinners like you and me. And thank God he did. So perhaps the most important and obvious thing for us to learn from this part of Matthew's gospel is that Jesus sees, acknowledges, welcomes, and invites all of us to follow him, as he did Matthew. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what our life situation, all of us are called to follow Jesus. Don't ever let your ideas of your unworthiness or shame or doubt stop you. He welcomes you. He loves you. He calls you. Similarly, we're not to let who we are stop us from following Jesus because we feel superior, self-righteous, judgmental, proud, secretly pleased with ourselves. we're not to be like the Pharisees. Jesus' invitation and call to follow him is for everyone. Sinners, seemingly religious people, everyone. The next part of the story is that some different people came to question Jesus next. They were John's disciples. How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus replies that now isn't the time, not when Jesus himself is with them. Just as you don't fast at a wedding, it's a time for celebration. You don't normally mix mourning with joy, funeral with wedding. Jesus goes on to say, if you're mending an old coat by sticking a patch on it, make sure the patch is made of cloth that's been washed and already done all the shrinking it's going to. Otherwise, when it does shrink, it'll make the hole worse than it was in the first place. And you can't put new wine into old wineskins or they'll burst. These three pictures, the wedding, the clothes, and the wineskins, all demonstrate that the old and new don't mix. This doesn't mean, of course, that the old was all bad. Jesus came, Matthew says, not to destroy but to fulfill. As Tom Wright puts it, it simply means that morning has broken on a new day and the practices needed for nighttime are no longer needed. For the times were changing. God's new world was being born, and from now on everything would be different. Yes, they were in the middle of God's new work, an outpouring of mercy, which was already upstaging the temple itself. God wants mercy, not temple sacrifices. And Jesus was bringing in this new era, the kingdom of God. So how could his friends not celebrate? So to conclude, what can we learn from this part of Matthew's gospel? Do we recognize Jesus calling each of us to follow him today, whoever we are? And what will our response be? And what does it mean in practice for us to follow Jesus day by day today? To follow Jesus is to live his way in all of our lives, with how we use our time, with how we use our money, with how we use our phones, getting to know him better, to trust him better from the Bible and prayer. Behaving as Jesus would if he were in our everyday life situations, loving, kind, quick to forgive, standing up for the disadvantaged, for justice, for peace. Let's now have a moment of quiet to think or listen out for a godly nudge about maybe one way in which we might be called to follow Jesus better. We'll have a moment of quiet and then I'll pray. And I'm starting the quiet reading another verse from Mark's gospel, something else that Jesus said about following him. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Merciful Father, thank you for your love and forgiveness to each one of us today. Thank you that you call us to follow you. Please help us to see what that means for each of us and what a next step might be in our day-to-day lives. In Jesus' name, Amen.